Hello, friends. Welcome to day two of our money article for the month of June. Today is June 28th, and I am Campbell. We've been talking about getting financially fit, and it has been an interesting education for me. I hope it has been an interesting education for you, and we hope that you have been learning some good tips on how to manage your money. Now, we have four more tips and habits for you today, but before we get into today's article, I want to welcome back our panelists. Simon, Lois, how are you guys today?
Great.
Doing great, Campbell. Glad to be here.
Yes. All right. So yesterday we had an interesting discussion about Robert Kiyosaki and some of his best money tips. Can you guys review a little bit about what we talked about yesterday?
Well, these are sort of summary tips from different books he's produced. And the first one, which is a thing that he repeats over and over again through his books, is that financial education is important. It's the key to wealth. If you don't know about your money, then you won't be able to become wealthy.
Right. He also says take control of your finances because it's your finances. You should be taking control of it.
Yeah, that's right. And he uses that famous line of his that nobody cares about your money as much as you do. He goes on to tell us that we should pay ourselves first, which basically means we should make investment a priority and make our investments first, then use the rest of our money to live on rather than trying to say, oh, I'll save whatever's left over at the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have plan possible contingencies. So what's going to happen in your life? It's not always going to be smooth sailing. So you have to plan for what might come up.
Yeah, like having emergency funds available in case you need them. And the last thing he suggests is that you need to spend your money on assets, things that are going to hold value or give you an income, rather than spending on liabilities, which I don't know that we defined very clearly yesterday, but liabilities are basically things that cost you money. So he's suggesting that we invest in things that give us income rather than things that just kind of go down in value and aren't really worth anything after we've bought them and used them.
Right. So there is a key example here, liability, a car, clothes, vacation. These are things that depreciate or go down in value. So as you're putting your money in these things, it's not making you money and it's certainly not increasing in worth. So if you ever sell these things, you're not going to be able to get back your money or make anything from them. So you want to be able to purchase things that will make you money and not take money out of your pocket. So we have a few great tips from yesterday. We have four more tips today. But before we get into that, I want to ask you, these five tips we talked about yesterday, are you guys practicing them?
Yeah, I think so. But the thing to remember there is that Robert Kiyosaki has had a very big impact on the world of personal finance. And so these are sort of things that you actually hear people talking about all the time. So the reality is probably most of us could improve in some of the areas,
yeah.
But at the same time, a lot of people think about them anyway or practice them to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely with reading this book well over a decade ago, I definitely have practiced them and am practicing them. Sometimes one of the key points better than the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to live my life never purchasing clothes, never buying a car,
right.
Never having a vacation.
Sure.
And, you know, it's wonderful. All of us would love to look into a crystal ball and know how long we're going to live on this earth.
Right.
But we don't. And we have to be wise and smart with our money.
Mm-hmm.
But some people really miss out with their money, too.
Sure, yeah.
Right?
And that's where the budgeting comes in,
yeah,
right?
That's
you need
right.
to budget your
mm-hmm.
spending, and you need to make room for that,
exactly.
those liabilities
yeah.
and the fun.
Exactly.
Right?
And my budget will always include saving, retirement, emergency plan, but it will always include vacations.
And that's important, too,
yeah.
right? And we're going to actually talk a little bit about that today. So let's get into our article for today. We're going to be on page 41, and we actually have a separate article that's connected to this topic here. It says, Four Habits to Help You Save Thousands. Sounds interesting. Let's get started.
Four Habits to Help You Save Thousands. There is a good chance you have at some point in your life resolved to kick a bad money habit. Instead of taking the negative approach of trying to eliminate a behavior, try to make a positive change by adopting a good money habit. That's what these money experts did. Here are four money-saving tips they have incorporated to spend less, take control of their finances, and save. 1. Put purchases in perspective. Ask yourself whether a purchase will take you closer to or away from your goals, and whether it's the best value for your money. This question habit eliminates any need for budgeting or self-discipline by replacing it with awareness that occurs at the point of spending, said Todd Tresseter, a financial coach. Your spending will drop and your savings will increase automatically without any sense of deprivation or scarcity.
So we're talking about some tips that financial experts give on how to have some better money habits. And we start our article saying there's a good chance you have at some point in your life resolved to kick a bad money habit. I love that. What does it mean to kick a habit?
Well, to kick a habit is usually to mean to get rid of it, mm-hmm. put it aside,
right.
or forget about it. I'm not going to do that anymore.
Yeah, we often think of making resolutions, you know, mm-hmm. at the beginning of the year
right.
to kick a bad habit. You know, I'm not going to eat junk food anymore. I'm not
right.
going to go to bed so late anymore. Yeah. But I like what it says here. Instead of taking the negative approach of trying to eliminate a behavior, try to make a positive change by adopting a good money habit. I think a lot of times when we think about kicking a habit, we think about stopping a behavior, right?
Right, right. You know, for me, I recently decided, and it didn't hurt, it didn't seem like a negative to me at all. I just decided, you know what? I want to have fun with my closet.
Yes.
And I'm going to go through my closet, and I'm going to see all the things in my closet and the drawers in my bedroom, what I can wear. And through doing that, I didn't purchase one piece of clothing or a purse or shoes or boots for over 3 months.
Wow.
And I actually really enjoyed it. It made me be very creative. It made me get excited about clothes I'd forgotten all about.
Yeah.
It actually made me organize closets and drawers.
Right.
So I had a positive outcome, and I saved a lot of money.
Right. It's true. I mean, a lot of times you forget what you have, and so taking a positive approach to changing a habit is very helpful. You know, I know when I read this article, I started doing what they suggested. I found that to be true, too, that when you start doing a positive mm-hmm. approach rather than trying to stop something, it actually helps you a lot. So the money experts here give us four money-saving tips they have incorporated to spend less, take control of their finances, and save. So what is number one?
Well, the first tip is to put purchases in perspective. And usually when we use that word perspective, we're talking about the way you look at something or think about something. And so the idea here is that you should be asking yourself how important a purchase is. They actually say here, ask yourself whether a purchase will take you closer to or away from your goals.
I like that. I like that. Because a lot of times you're just thinking about, oh, no, I shouldn't buy this. No, I shouldn't buy this. But you don't actually think about why you shouldn't buy
mm-hmm.
it. And the why is actually a very big motivation for anything you do. So it's important when you take that perspective and you stop and think, then you give yourself a very clear why maybe you shouldn't purchase
it. Right. It seems logical, doesn't it?
Right. Yeah. But the thing is, as we were saying earlier, sometimes it is important and sometimes it is nice to be able to spend a little bit on a vacation mm-hmm. or some clothes.
Right. You know, there was that, you guys know this, not too long ago, both my kids got married.
Right.
So I decided, you know what, I want to look really nice for both weddings, and that means I have to be more frugal mm-hmm. for other times of the year and concentrate on getting something really nice
yeah.
and the accessories for this wedding. That was a lot of fun.
Right.
I had the money put aside. You didn't have to go, oh, I can't spend that. I could spend that.
Right, yeah. And see, you had your goal,
exactly.
right?
Exactly, I had a goal.
And you thought, okay, if I buy this dress now or if I buy this coffee now, yeah, you know, maybe I'm not going to be able to reach my goal.
Right.
And that really helped you. So I think this is a really, really good tip. And I like how it says you also need to think about, are you getting the best value for your money? And this question habit eliminates any need for budgeting or self-discipline by replacing it with awareness that occurs at the point of spending. Now, I don't think this is saying don't budget and don't have self-discipline. It's just you're not going to need as much self-control if you're doing this. Right. So this is advice from Todd Tresider, who is a financial coach. And what does he say about your spending, Simon?
Well, he says it's going to drop, so it will go down. And as a result, your savings will increase automatically. So if you're spending less money, you'll be saving more money.
Yeah, and I think this goes back to what we were saying yesterday about how emotion goes up, intelligence goes down. A lot of times when we buy things, it is very emotional. Like, oh, this is so cute, or I love this, I have to have it, right? And it's not so much a, you know, you're not being logical. Like, well, I already have 50 pairs of shoes, I don't need an extra, this other pair of shoes, right? And he talks about two things here, deprivation or scarcity. Deprivation, it just means depriving yourself, right? And it just means that you kind of
have something you need,
right?
Basically.
Yeah,
right?
And you're just kind of starving yourself in a way. You're keeping yourself from doing something and you feel like you're missing out.
Yeah, scarcity in the same way means that there isn't enough of something, but the main difference between the two is that when you say scarcity, you mean there actually isn't any of the thing you need. Whereas when you say deprivation, the thing might be there, you just can't have it.
Right.
And so these are both kind of negative things, and he's saying you will be able to increase your savings without feeling like you are having either of these things happen
right
to you.
Yeah. I mean, the truth is you're not being deprived and you're not experiencing scarcity. You just feel like you are.
Right.
All right. So that was habit number one, put purchases in perspective. Now, let's look at habit number two, three, and four.
Two, pay yourself first. Set up automatic withdrawals and sync them with your pay cycle. Barry Choi of the Money We Have blog said, "This way, your money will go right into your savings account without you even noticing it's gone." 3. Brown bag your lunch. When Grayson Bell of Debt Roundup was knee-deep in debt, he stopped eating out at work and started bringing lunch from home every day. Bell calculated that he saved about $125 a month by brown bagging his lunch, and he put that money toward his debt, which is now paid off. 4. Walk everywhere. Walking is a great way to get some exercise and save money. This is a frugal living habit of Amanda Abella, the author of Make Money Your Honey. She has never owned a car. "I learned how to get around walking or with public transit in a city, and it saves me a ton of money," she said. According to AAA, the annual cost of owning and operating a vehicle is $8,698. So, walking rather than driving can save you thousands.
All right, so tip number two might sound familiar. Pay yourself first. We also talked about this yesterday, but there's a different twist on this section. What do we say here, Simon?
Well, and like we mentioned yesterday, just about every financial expert out there says this, but this one specifically offers us, sort of some practical advice on how to do it. They say set up automatic withdrawals and sync them with your pay cycle. So automatic withdrawals are when money comes out of your bank account automatically. And when you sync it with your pay cycle, it means it happens on the day that you're going to be paid. So the idea is that money comes out of your bank account as soon as you're paid and goes into investments so that you don't really ever notice it was there. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the money in your account is yours to spend.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think this is a good idea.
I do, too. I've always practiced this. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great idea.
Right. I think the key here is that you need to have a separate account, though. Right? You need to have two accounts, mm-hmm. one for your spending, one for your savings. And again, as Simon was saying, you need to take that money and put it into assets and investments, right? Not just keep it in the account.
Right.
All right. Number three, brown bag your lunch. That's an interesting term. What does this mean, brown bag
well,
your
it
lunch?
Always used to mean taking your lunch in a brown paper bag
yep.
instead of a see-through plastic bag.
Yep.
And it's great idea, and I used to always do it in Canada, except for one day a week. I treat myself and buy my lunch.
Uh-huh.
It was always on Friday.
Uh-huh.
But I have to say in Asia, I almost never brown bag my lunch.
Yeah, well, it used to be in Asia that it was actually almost cheaper to eat out than mm-hmm. than to bring your lunch. But, you know, now I feel that, you know, with inflation,
mm-hmm.
things are getting more and more expensive. And actually, here we call it bientang, right? People bring bientang from home. They
right.
bring lunch in a tin,
right?
And it's kind of leftovers from dinner or things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the basic idea, though, is that a quick way to lower your expenses is to to control your eating out.
Yeah.
So either eat cheaper food or bring food from home,
mm-hmm. right.
But avoid expensive meals. And they actually give examples here. This person says, Grayson Bell says, that when he was bringing his lunch from home every day, he saved about $125 a month. And so really I think the spirit of this tip is that when you need money, you need to find out which ways you are spending money and what you're maybe spending too much on, and then try to lower it, whether it's lunches or shoes or whatever it happens to be.
Right.
Right. And, you know, sometimes here I preach to the younger crowd, what do you mean you're eating out breakfast and you're eating out lunch? Now, mm-hmm. come on. And I commute, as you know, quite a distance
yes.
to get to work here.
Yeah.
I make sure I eat my breakfast at home because I know it's healthier
yes.
than the breakfast you get around here.
Exactly. And the other thing is, it's not just about lunch and breakfast. It's about coffee, too, right? Many
right.
people spend, you know, $3-$4 U.S. on coffee every
oh, yeah.
day, $5,
oh, yeah.
$5. You know,
$5.
And that adds
yeah.
up.
It
that
sure does.
Adds up. You can just as easily make your coffee at home and bring it to the office. Why not?
$5, that's nothing. See how much coffee I drink.
You know, yeah. I used to say to my son, because we're from Canada and a lot of Canadians know Tim Hortons donuts and coffee, I used to say to him, you know, son, you have a Tim Hortons budget, not a Starbucks budget.
Right.
Because,
yeah.
you know, you just got to remember that. Sometimes remembering that you have a Honda budget when you look for a car and not a Mercedes budget.
Yes.
So you got to live within your means once again.
Right. Yeah, and the thing is, you know, it's okay to treat yourself every once in a while, but every day it really adds up. And this is something, you know, where we need to, we kind of call them, you know, money leaks,
mm-hmm.
right? This is
mm-hmm.
where money kind of just $1, $2, $3, whatever, and we're not aware of it, but it can add up. And the thing is, you know, especially in the States, and I'm sure in Canada as well, eating out is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one meal could be $20, $30.
Yeah, it is.
And that adds up as well.
And it can be anywhere, right?
Exactly. It can be anywhere.
And so, again, I guess the thing with all of these things is that over time, we find ourselves becoming more and more used to higher prices.
Yes.
Right? And so the first time you go to Starbucks, you're like, whoa, that's expensive. That's not a very big cup. But then by the 100th time you've been there, you're like, I just want my cup of coffee. And so you're not really thinking about the price. And so these prices, and particularly how much they're costing us each month or each year,
yeah.
can kind of sneak up on us.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just want to be aware of that.
That's right.
And then try to lower those.
Yeah, because you can take that money and put it elsewhere.
Right. But I also have to remember, it's kind of like a judgment call. Don't do it. That person who might buy a coffee out every day, have you ever looked at their wardrobe?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, for some people, this is a priority,
mm-hmm.
whereas they might be happy with 7 shirts and 5 pair of pants and 3
right.
pairs of shoes.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
But you also have to be careful because often these, I guess you could call them habitual spending habits, things you do as like a habit. Like
mm-hmm.
every day, you know, you get up, you put on your, you know, designer shoes, and then you head down to the breakfast shop you buy, and then you hit Starbucks. And mm-hmm. it's sort of a lifestyle we build for ourselves
right.
rather than being really kind of practical about what we're going to do with our money
right.
or thinking about
yeah.
what our ultimate goals are.
Right. And that's what we're talking about today, 4 habits, right? So we're trying to develop new habits to help us get financially fit. All right. And the 4th and last tip is very interesting. Walk everywhere. What is this tip that we hear from Amanda Abella?
Well, it's something I do, Campbell. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
I basically depend on public transit or walk everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I live in a convenient place to do it.
Right.
I live in Taipei.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And I could do it in my home city of Toronto if I lived in the downtown core. I could
right.
do the same thing.
Yes.
But for most of us, especially if you are from North America,
mm-hmm.
our cities are so spread out
mm-hmm.
because we love land and we love to have some property
yeah.
around our house.
Right.
Whereas here, you know, in Taipei, it can be quite easy to walk everywhere
sure.
because it's really urbanized, the whole city.
Yes.
It's not just the downtown core that
right.
is.
Yeah. I mean, I know here in Taipei, a lot of people don't even have driver's license. They mm-hmm. they've never learned how to drive because they don't have to.
Right.
But you get down south, or you know, it's exactly. you kind of have to drive. Or you
sure
have to
do.
Ride a scooter. Otherwise,
yeah.
you're kind of crippled in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You can't
sure.
get around. But I think this is still a very interesting tip. Walking is a great way to get some exercise and save money. So in English we say killing two birds with one stone. So you kind of get physically fit and financially fit, which is good. And we have a word here. This is frugal. This is a frugal living habit. What does it mean when something is frugal, Simon?
I always think it means you are being cheap.
I knew he was going to say
it
that.
It doesn't really mean that. It means you're sort of making careful choices about where you're going to spend your money and what you're going to do with your life.
Right.
The word I actually love to use on my family, mm-hmm. my husband, my children. Okay, we're going to be frugal for a month.
Yeah.
And they all know what that means. But like Simon says, my family's probably interpreting, oh, we have to be cheap and have no fun.
Well, this is, again, a tip from Amanda Abella. And she has an interesting book here. It's called Make Money Your Honey.
I don't even want to guess what that means, really.
Either it means making money, you know, something sweet,
yeah.
or it means like, you know, I call my wife honey, right?
Right?
So just kind of something, someone or something that's close to you.
Right. We might say that money's kind of the bittersweet in life.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe she's trying to make it more sweet for us.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting, too, because this article is very much in line with what we read yesterday where Robert Kiyosaki was saying we have to control our spending on cars, clothes, and vacations, right? And so I guess they're both of these articles are hitting the same sort of theme, both with the brown bag lunch and with the transportation. You want to control your costs and focus on your bigger financial goals.
That's right. And she says she's never owned a car. And she learned how to get around walking or with public transit. Now, for me, the thing is with public transit and buses and things like that, I feel like it takes a long time.
Well, and you also have a young family.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a pain to take all four of you public
transit.
Oh, my
goodness. I had the worst experience last week with that.
Okay.
Yeah, my daughter's at the age where, you know, she just got potty trained, and so she's, like, enamored with going to the bathroom, and, oh, my gosh, it was like a 15-minute trip. It took me an hour and a half because she wanted to stop at every bathroom, and then, you know, I had both of them by myself, and it was raining, so it was...
Did you attach them to you?
I did. I had one of them attached to me with a baby backpack, and then the other one was walking, but it was raining. I only had one umbrella, so I had to carry both of them, and... It was a big hassle, but I got a lot of exercise out of it.
And you were really appreciating your car in the end.
Yes, I was. And, you know, it was a sweet memory I had with them, and that was nice. All right, so we do have some statistics here from the AAA. Okay, we do call it the AAA, the AAA here. What is the AAA or the AAA?
Well, we have the CAA in Canada, and you have the AAA. So it is the provides roadside assistance. The American Automobile Association does, and it will help you and it gives you information on car-related services. To its members.
Right.
You have to be a member.
That's right. So it's kind of a club in a way.
Yeah.
You pay a membership fee, and then you can get roadside assistance if your car breaks down, if you run out of gas, etc.
They get all kinds of things, too, though. They have maps and trip planning, and
they rate
hotels.
And you get discounts at different places.
Exactly, actually provide a lot of travel items. If you go to their store, it's great, like purses and backpacks and keychains and all these sort of things.
Yeah, they're kind of the group you go to when you are planning to drive across the country or go on a car-based vacation instead of flying somewhere.
That's right. So they have a lot of information about cars, and what do they say about the annual cost of owning and operating a vehicle?
They say it is very high. They say it's $8,698. That'll be U.S. dollars.
Right.
And that's, of course, the cost of both owning and operating. So part of that money will come from the cost of buying the car, but it will also come from things like insurance and maintenance and gas and
oil and
running into your neighbor at the end of the lane or whatever.
Exactly.
All of that stuff.
It all adds up. And here in Taipei or in any major city, you're going to have to pay for parking.
Exactly.
So that all adds up quickly. So walking rather than driving can save you thousands, and that makes sense.
Right. And, you know, I have known people that have actually gone without a car, decided we're going to do it for 1 year or 2 years because they're saving for something really important.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to do it, and they say we're going to rely on public transit.
Yeah.
And even my husband and I have done that.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and I mean, it does take a little bit more effort, but it goes back to the tip number one that we were talking about today, put purchases in perspective, right? So if there is something you're trying to save towards or something you're working for, then, you know, maybe you're willing to sacrifice a little bit, and it won't feel that you're depriving yourself or you're living in scarcity. All right. So, we've had several tips over the past 2 days. We'd love to hear from you and see what you think about what we talked about. Do you think these things make sense? Do you practice these things? Do you have other tips you can give us? Please do write to us at letters@studioclassroom.com. And remember to check out our QR code at the top of page 40. All right, friends, that's all the time we have for today. We hope that you will join us again for our next article. Take care, everyone.
Goodbye.